The Word of God is so amazing. How amazing? Well, Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us. So if you want to turn there, I'm going to make you work tonight. Just wait till next week. You'll really be working. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." This is how powerful the Word of God is. It's not just words on paper. It's like a two-edged sword, and that's because it's not only for defense, but it's for offense too. And the two-edged sword was the most effective battle weapon anyone going to war could have. It says here, it pierces as far as division of the soul and spirit. Nothing can convict us and smarten us up like the Word of God can do. Of both joints and marrows. And look at this, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, don't try and argue with God. I've always found that, you know, that never works. If he says it in his word, we should listen. And it's not just words on paper, but it's powerful. And aren't we blessed to attend a church that focuses on the Word of God and teaches it in its context? We are being prepared for the future, and we want to be ready for our Lord's coming. That's the next big event, so let's just wait for it. The early church received many warnings about how deception might creep into the congregation. Warnings were given to watch out for false prophets, false teachers, watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing, watch out for speculations instead of true doctrine, and the list goes on. There are plenty of warnings to us to stay in the Word, to believe it as it's written. God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. No doubt I'm speaking to an audience of brothers and sisters in Christ. We are born again. We all began as babes in Christ, but we must be nurtured and we must grow in grace. Even though we are Christians, it's still a battlefield for our minds and our intellect. That's out there every day. And we all need to cleanse our hearts and put our armor on to remain strong and to be pleasing in the Lord if we are to be his bride. We all need regular washing. Who doesn't shower or bathe to clean their bodies? We need to be cleansed in our spirits, our minds, and our hearts as well. How can we do this? Or better yet, how can we allow Christ to cleanse us? Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. Help if I went the right way. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. And you husbands, you get a little bit of extra advice along with this scripture, but it's not the point I'm making. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27 says, "Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." We all want to be that bride of Christ. And he washes us, he sanctifies us, he cleanses us by washing of water with the word. In my opinion, the most dangerous, subtle deception that ever happens to assail our minds and our intellects in this day is concerning Jesus Christ. The early church received this specific warning found in 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. So let's turn over there to 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. And here, Paul says, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully, or you put up with it," the Greek says. And so, here were the Corinthians, and I often think that our modern world is much like the Corinthian church was in those days. The Corinthian church was putting up with a whole smorgasbord of different spirits, different gospels, and misrepresentations of Jesus Christ, just as we do today. We may ask others, or they may ask us, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" That's a good question. We would reply, "Yes, we do." We may walk away and think that that person that we're talking to is just the same as us. If we ask them, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" and they say, "Yes, I do," we can say, "Oh, well, I guess they're just like us." Not necessarily. Notice in this scripture that Paul was afraid that Eve's mind would be led astray. Our minds can get us into lots of trouble if we do not have that word of God abiding in us, if we do not regularly get washed with the word. We each need to ask ourselves, do we really have the mind of Christ as we're commanded to have? Do we really look at things the way Christ did? Have we obeyed the command to not go beyond what is written? I can't tell you how important that is. People would save themselves all kinds of heartache if only they would listen to that command. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, just back a few pages. And this was written to the elders of the church. And the elders are the ones that we trust are placed there by God to provide an umbrella of protection over the congregation. That's their job. And so Paul is speaking to them, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that no one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against another." Now, some of the most arrogant people I've ever run into in our ministry have been those who felt they had a special word from God, or revelation knowledge, or a prophecy, or something. And that's all right. We can have those things. But they must not go beyond what is written in Scripture. If somebody is teaching you something or telling you something that is extra-biblical or speculative or something, you have to be so careful that you're not going out beyond what is written. It's so simple, isn't it? Remain in the Word of God to determine truth. If it's in the Word, believe it. If not, recognize it as speculation and leave it alone. Don't go beyond what is written. This is never more true than regarding Jesus Christ. The Bible presents him as truly God and truly man. Now, next week, I'm going to share with you how to take your Bible and talk to people about how you know Jesus is truly God and truly man. It's not as difficult as you may think. You do not need a theology degree. I certainly don't have one. I'm just an ordinary person. But the Word of God is there for us to use. And the day is going to come when you're going to run into somebody who's trying to tell you something different about Jesus Christ, or you discern that they say they believe in him, but really they have another Jesus. So when a person talks about Jesus Christ, we need to find out what they think of him. If you don't know that person, often my first question is, "Do you believe Jesus is God?" That's a really good first question. Do you believe Jesus is God? A firm yes is the answer we're looking for. If there's any hesitation or doubt, then we're in the company of one who has another Jesus. If anyone says, well, yes, but he's not God, like not really, he's God sort of, or he's kind of a God. You know, you're dealing with someone who's presenting another Jesus. So we need to have our detectors out. Now I'm going to follow the Bible example of naming names of those misrepresenting Christ. Some people get nervous and say, oh, you shouldn't name other names of other denominations or other churches or other teachers or anything else. And I say, well, I'm not going to go beyond what's written, because we found that Hymenaeus was named, Philetus was named, Alexander the coppersmith. Jesus said he hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which were a cult group at that time. They were all identified as teaching false doctrine, and I believe if someone stands up and misrepresents my Lord and Savior, I'm going to name them and say something about them. Can't help it. Just the way it is. The Bible also corrected false doctrine. Things came up like teachings on baptism for the dead and teachings that there were no resurrection and everything. Those doctrines were identified and corrected. False doctrine was faced head on in the early church, not excused and tolerated as it often is today. One of the dumbest things I've ever heard is one leader said, well, yeah, you're going to hear false doctrine at some of the meetings, but you know, it's just like eating a chicken. Swallow the good parts and spit the bones out. No. The Bible says a little leaven ferments the whole lump. Don't put it in there in the first place. And most Christians lack the Bible knowledge and discernment to know what's meat and what's bones to spit out. And so it's a good idea to just say strong in the word. Over the years, I've compiled a list of various groups and what they thought of Christ. Some of these names might surprise you, but I used their own writings and their own statements about Christ to identify them. We always go to the original writings of the group that we're dealing with, and if they make a plain statement about Christ and it's contrary to the Bible, then by their own statement, I use that to identify them. I'm sorry to tell you that there are almost 400 names on my list over the 30 years we did this kind of ministry. The main mistake about Jesus Christ, this is the biggie, is that they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is God. We know John 1:1. If we think about it with our own mind, we might end up saying, how can that be, just like they do? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we're saying, just a minute here. How can you be with someone and yet be God, and there's only one God? And we say, oh gosh. This may be why the Bible calls it the mystery of Jesus Christ. Now we have a choice at this point. We can either believe the Bible as it is written, recognizing that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts, or we can come up with some kind of a man-made doctrine and try and explain this away. And this is where we get all this stuff that misrepresents Jesus Christ. Now, I cut through all this with one of my favorite scriptures. I say, will you believe that Jesus Christ is Almighty God if he calls himself Almighty God? Would that settle the argument if Jesus actually makes that statement? And they say, oh, you can't find any such thing. But we can. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. And it's very obvious here who is speaking. Verse 1. Says Jude, a bondservant. Oh, I'm in Jude. Wrong one. The revelation of Jesus Christ, it says. Jesus is the speaker in John chapter 1. And look at verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, we're not going to do a full teaching on those names of Jesus, Alpha and Omega, first and last, but who's coming? Who is, who was, and who is to come? There are other scriptures with this description of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ, and he identifies himself. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is, he was, and he's coming. He says, the Almighty. Now, that should cut through the arguments, don't you think? Let's turn over to the very end of Revelation, because all of Revelation is about these things. And in chapter 22, verse 13, he says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning of the end. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. Verse 20 of Revelation 22 says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. And John says, amen, come, Lord Jesus. And so Jesus Christ, our Lord God, identifies himself as the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, who was and is and who is to come, the Almighty. And next Wednesday night, we're going to fortify this and share many other things. Which groups say Jesus is not Almighty God? Which groups are they that say he's some kind of a secondary God? We hear that he's a prophet, he's only a good man. Or some people, even in the church, they say, well, I'm not quite sure, I don't really understand it all, but I've given my heart to him. And, you know, they need to be washed with the water of the word so that they know who they believe in. What could be more important than our eternal life? Do we want to not know for sure who our Savior is? Or do we really want to know for sure? And the Bible identifies him. Now, I didn't give you my whole list of 400 in case you thought I was going to read them all. But I tried to pick out some names that you might recognize. We have others in groups that want to be Christ themselves. Or they say, our leader is not necessarily reincarnation, but our leader is the one we look to as Christ on earth. There are many, many groups that regard their leaders as, quote, Christ. Now, in this day and age, there's lots of Christ consciousness going around. Almost a lot of the exercises, meditation, New Age stuff, it's all about Christ consciousness. When you hear that kind of talk, run the other direction. Others invent false teachings about Christ while claiming to serve him. You know, all of these people that have these wrong ideas, all will answer yes if you believe in Jesus Christ. If your next question is, are you born again? Many will say, oh yeah, yeah, I am. But those, do you believe Jesus is Almighty God come in the flesh? That's the clincher. Do you believe he's God? Some groups knock on our doors, usually the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons. Others come into our home via TV, radio, and the internet. What do they think of Christ? How important is this? I like to say this. If we have the right Jesus Christ, we are right for all eternity. But if we have the wrong Jesus Christ, then we are wrong for all eternity. How serious is this? Well, again, the words of Jesus in John 8:24. We haven't gotten quite that far in our ladies group yet, but we will. John 8:24. And Jesus is speaking. Oh, did I write down the wrong one? Oh, no, here we are. So this is serious stuff. Jesus says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." Now, if your Bible has thoughtfully stuck a he in there, it's not there in the original Greek. What was Jesus saying here? He was taking the divine name of God to all generations and applying it to himself. Remember when Moses had to go in before Pharaoh? And he said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And what did God say? "I am that I am. Tell them, I am has sent me unto you." So that was the first revealed name of God, before even there was Yahweh, or YHWH, the Tetragrammaton. So Jesus said, unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. What a powerful statement. But I can't say it any better than he did. That's how important it is. He took the divine name of God to all generations, applied it to himself the same way he said, I'm the Almighty. Jehovah's Witnesses and their many split off groups all deny the deity of Christ. They reduce him to being a small g god and the Archangel Michael besides. Their Bible has altered almost every scripture in the New Testament. It's called the New World Translation, but I call it the New World Distortion because they have taken every reference to the deity of Christ and tampered with the Word of God to try and make it say something else. So be very careful with that. Just so you think I have no humor at all and I'm laying all this hard stuff on you tonight, sometimes to break all the seriousness, I like to write silly poems. So I'm going to write you one. You see, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jehovah God created Jesus Christ, who was also the Archangel Michael, and that at a point in time, he transferred the life force from the Archangel Michael into Eve, into Mary, who then gave birth to the watchtower Jesus, who was only a man when he walked the face of the earth. And then when he died, Jehovah God dissolved his body into gases and recreated him as Michael the Archangel in the heavens. Does this sound like a fairy tale to you? It really is. So I wrote this little poem. The watchtower Archangel Michael shows an alarming trend to recycle. In the heavens, a god, on earth, just a man, dissolved and recreated as Michael. JWs will tell you today that they are the truth and the way, but their Christ is an angel, their dates are a tangle, they're told what to do and to say. My Jesus, no angel is he, shed his blood on Calvary for me. He is God, he is man, I with him take my stand. No need to recycle Michael. So I hope that little poem helps you to remember that they have the wrong Jesus. Don't encourage me. Mormons teach that Jesus is the offspring of an exalted man from a star base near the planet Kolob. While on earth, the Mormon Jesus married three times and in line of descent from Jesus is their prophet Joseph Smith. Now, their God is an exalted man who has many spirit wives and children in heaven, and they spend all eternity being pregnant and giving birth to spirit babies. You'll be happy, all of you, to know that according to Mormonism, that was what you were before you got here. Now, those of you with blonde hair and blue eyes came from a very high-ranking goddess, and those of us with brown hair and green eyes or brown eyes, well, ours weren't so high. And then they've changed this doctrine now because it's gotten to be an embarrassment, but they taught if your skin was dark, you were from really not such a great one. Maybe even one of the rebellious women. So, you know, Here's this Mormon doctrine. I thought, it's just so ridiculous. I was moved to write another poem about Mormons. So here we are. There once was a man from Kolob, who, because he lived his life so good, a god he became. Elohim was his name. The council of gods made earth his domain. This heavenly father of flesh and bone was not content to just sit on his throne. Many wives had he, busy as a bee, producing spirit children for eternity. Two kids of his quarreled over who would be Lord. Jesus and Lucifer were they. One was Redeemer and one was the devil. A strange brotherhood, I'd say. Elohim looked on down and a virgin he found, but he didn't leave her that way. A child she produced, called him Jesus the Lord. He married three times so he wouldn't be bored. This isn't the Jesus of Scripture, who for my salvation did die. So Mormons, I'm sorry, I won't see you in glory. Joseph Smith has told you a lie. So that's my Mormon theology in one poem. Now, many people in the church can readily identify these cults. They know they're not right. They may not know why, but they know they're not right. But they seem to overlook or fail to discern deception about Jesus Christ in what they consider the church. Guilty of deception about Jesus is the Word Faith movement. They say they believe the deity of Christ. They say Christ died for our sins. They say they believe in the Trinity. But they have deviated so far from the gospel message about salvation and atonement to the point where I finally reluctantly had to add them to my list and say they are definitely preaching another Jesus. The Jesus Christ of the Word Faith movement said it is finished on the cross, like we believe, but it really wasn't, they explain. Jesus had to go to hell to be born again. While he was in hell, he suffered mockings, beatings, and ridicule by the devil and his demons. I have tapes of some of them calling Jesus, saying he was a worm during the time he was in hell, if you can imagine. Finally, after 3 days, he arose victorious, according to them, and completed atonement. Kenneth Copeland even said that any man could have done it on behalf of others. Any perfect man could have atoned us, but it happened to be Jesus. Jesus was said to have taken on the nature of Satan when the Father forsook him on the cross. Can you imagine our Savior having the nature of Satan? It's just blasphemy, heresy. What was this non-existent trip to hell supposed to accomplish for the Word Faith followers? Well, it was so that all believers could become gods and have the ability to speak things into existence. This is why they're blab it and grab it. They think if they talk about getting money, they'll get money. They all consider themselves to be little gods, a false doctrine as well. We have a video of Benny Hinn proclaiming himself a little Messiah walking the face of the earth. The crowd is clapping happily. Can't believe it sometimes. When I was reading through Vatican II from the Roman Catholic Church, I was surprised to find this same doctrine, that you can become a god yourself. Can anyone think of when was the first time we heard this little lie? He was in the Garden of Eden when the serpent was tempting Eve. And he said, is it really so? God knows in the day you eat of it, you can be as God or like gods, knowing good and evil. And I just want to take one moment to deviate. I wasn't going to include this due to time, but then I prayed before I came and I felt that I needed to put it back in. Sometimes these groups will take one scripture. Turn to John 10:34, where Jesus was in the midst of a big confrontation. The Jews were seeking to kill him, and they were accusing him of claiming to be the Son of God, which he was. And so Jesus turned to them. They knew the scriptures. They were the religious leaders. In verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'?" Now, some of the groups want to take that one scripture and say, you see, Jesus said you are gods, so we are gods. And Jesus said it, and that ends it. No, no, no. Jesus goes on to say, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I'm the Son of God? Well, when they heard this, Jesus quoting that scripture at them, they got so mad, verse 39 says, they were seeking again to seize him. But Jesus used his deity, and he just slipped out of their grasp. It wasn't his time. That's another interesting thing, that all things are done in their time. Why were they so upset when he said, ye are gods, and all of you are the sons of God? Because he was quoting Psalm 82, which they knew very well. Just turn over to it. The Bible always clears up itself. If we're worried about different things, you can always find where else it is written. And a lot of the New Testament is quoting of the Old Testament. Now, in Psalms 82, this was a pronouncement against the judges. The judges were very, very powerful in the nation of Israel. They decided matters of life and death. And so they were looked upon as, quote, gods by the people, because they could take their life or not, whatever they chose. And look at verse 1 and 2. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? And he goes on to state all of the things they had done that weren't right. And then in verse 6, here's your quote. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. And this is what Jesus quoted to those Jewish religious leaders. And they knew very well the verse that came next, verse 7. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. So Jesus was putting a condemnatory statement upon these rulers, these Pharisees and scribes and priests. You see, there are three categories of gods, little g, in the Bible. One category is idols that people bowed down to and worshipped instead of the one true eternal God. The second category is satanic. These are satanic entities speaking out and making people believe that they're some great powerful entity that needs to be worshipped. And the satanic ones can also deceive, like they did with Eve. The third category is men who thought of themselves as gods. Are there any good gods, little g, in the Bible at all? No, none. All gods have two qualities. They're created and they're false. And if anyone comes and tells you that you can be a god yourself and quotes that condemnatory statement Jesus used on the Jews, don't you believe it. We are kings and priests, yes, and we'll rule and reign with him, but gods, never. Okay. Now, this business of Jesus taking on the nature of Satan and going to hell in the Word Faith movement, we have video of the late Kenneth Hagin, also of Kenneth Copeland, and an audio tape of Joyce Meyer's teachings, all expounding this false doctrine of Christ being born again in hell and having the nature of Satan. So don't think that these people are preaching the right Jesus Christ. They're not. And I want to read you a list of names now. I took this off a website called deceptioninthechurch.com. You can go there yourself if you want. There is a defending of the faith teachings there by a man called Sandy Simpson. And he had the following names that are teaching word faith doctrine. Watch out for them. I'm just going to read them. Ernest Ainsley, John Bavari, Marcus Bishop, Juanita Bynum, Morris Sorello, Kim Clement, Paul Crouch, Creflo Dollar, Jesse Duplantis, Marilyn Hickey, Benny Hinn, Rodney Howard Brown, Larry Hutch, T.D. Jakes, Bishop Eddie L. Long, Clarence McClendon, Miles Monroe, Steve Muncy, Mike Murdoch, Joel Osteen, Rod Parsley, Peter Popoff, Fred Price, Joseph Prince, Oral Roberts, R.W. Shambaugh, Robert Schuller, Carl Strader, Robert Tilden, Paula White, Ed Young. Now, you can go on that website and document all of this. He's got quotes and video clips and all kinds of things on there. If you recognize any of these names, of these little gods, they are preaching another Jesus. Please don't be misled by them. And I want to say, too, just watch out for phrases. We've been in churches where we've heard someone stand up and say, be Christ to your neighborhood. Be Christ to this. Be Christ. No, no, no. We can have the mind of Christ, but only Christ is Christ. We can be followers of Christ. We can be ambassadors for Christ, but we don't be Christ to anyone. That's a little God's phrase, so try not to use it. The next warning I want to bring out is about yoga. The purpose of yoga exercises is to align your body to absorb the cosmic force. God, or Christ, is not considered a person or spirit, but just consciousness. Chakras are a type of yoga, and yoga is not just exercise, but a religion. If you need exercise, there are many types available which do not involve false religion. Now you can say, well, I'm only doing it to get exercise. Wrong. You're placing your body in a position where the serpent they believe is coiled at the base of your spine can rise up and you too can reach Christ consciousness. And you know, we don't want to see how close we can get to some of these things. We want to see how far away we can stay. I was a exercise instructor for years, and we managed to get quite a lot of exercise without the yoga overtones. And they use the exercise to pull people in. And the next thing you know is they want you to say their mantras and raise your consciousness levels and all this. It's just a pathway to deception. And the martial arts, likewise, have heavy religious overtones. Should your child be bowing and calling the instructor master, a title of Jesus? Should he or she be taught centering, a religious concept to focus on awareness of God? Friends, we have to be so careful. Adding the words Christian to the martial arts and using the word Jesus for your centering doesn't make it right. It's something to think about. Now, due to time constraints, we can only name a few names in the other various categories. A category we just did is those that are preaching another Jesus. These are as well. These claim to believe in Jesus Christ, but often deny his deity. And notice how they all sound so very Christian. It sounds so good. Like, if you heard of a group meeting called Ambassadors for Jesus Christ, would you maybe think, hey, you know, I think I'm one. I could go there. That would be good. No, wrong. The Baha'i Faith, they'll tell you they believe in Jesus Christ. You betcha. Some of them will even say, I'm born again, but they just believe he's one of the nine great manifestations of deity, and Baha'u'llah is greater. There you have it. Buddhism. Someone once said to me, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. Well, Buddhism will embrace anything you want to believe. They'll tell you, you don't have to change your beliefs to become a Buddha, Buddhist. So be careful. The Christadelphians deny the deity of Christ. How about this one? Christian Millennial Fellowship. You might want to run right out and join that one, eh? Christian Renewal Ministry. Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor science. Keith and I had a good time at their headquarters. Oh, my. How they do elevate their founder. Terrible. Now, the Church of Christ Temple Lot is a breakoff. I like these guys because they own the temple lot where Joseph Smith foretold that the New Jerusalem was going to be built. And this little temple lot bunch won't sell it to the church in Salt Lake City. They want to get their hands on it, but this other group's hanging on to them. They're actually Mormons, yeah. Then we have the Cooneyites, the two-by-twos. They're sometimes called black stockings. And they may occasionally show up at your door. Our family, when I was born, I was actually born in a home owned by the two-by-twos. My mother was staying there while my dad was looking after a prisoner of war camp. There I admitted I'm a war baby. Yeah. Now, Freemasonry. It's not a social club. It's not a fraternal order. It is. But it's also a religion. And denying, again, the deity of Christ. The Way International. They take one of Jesus' titles. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And they take the title for themselves, but they deny the Jesus of the Bible. So that's just some of the deity deniers. Then we have another group that not only deny Jesus' deity, or if they do give lip service to him, they have another identification altogether of Christ, or they have him pronouncing something concerning salvation and atonement and all these other things that's so far out in left field that it really has nothing to do with what Christ taught. And all of these people, now you may be surprised, the first one on my list is the black Muslims, or any Muslim. You can say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. They do. They believe Muhammad's greater, but they believe Jesus Christ is a prophet. And, okay, just be careful. This one, the Christ family. Uh-huh. I always say kind of watch out for those that have the name family. It's usually some aberrant cult. Church of Christ is quite well known, but they don't have the same teaching that the churches do, although they say Church of Christ. Church of God, Seventh Day. Church of the Living Word, doesn't that one sound good? Also called the Walk. Ekankar, the ancient art of soul travel, they believe in Jesus too. I talked to one lady, she said Jesus, she figured she'd say Jesus for her mantra to go into this altered state because then she couldn't be deceived. And so she's calling Jesus, 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 and finally an entity appeared to her and it had a goat's head and little horns. And he said, I'm Jesus, you called. It kind of scared her. So it should. Okay, S, the Earhart Seminar Trainings, the Forum. The First Temple of the Craft of Wicca. Boy, we had lots of witches' covens in Nelson where I lived before. And these Wiccan, they say, we're not occult, we're pagan. We do pagan rituals, but not occult. And they believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, you betcha. But, of course, it's all misrepresented. How about this one? Foundation Church of the New Birth. Doesn't that sound like something that could be all right? Not. Hare Krishna. They believe in Jesus Christ, but an aberration. And, of course, Islam and the Muslims. Jehovah's Witnesses and their many offshoot groups. They believe that Jesus is Michael or a god. I'll never forget how surprised I was one day when I was having an encounter with a JW woman. I was trying to show her how she was wrong by having extra gods. So I said to her, "How many gods do you believe in?" And I expected her to say one or something. And she said, "One and a half." And I was really taken back. I said, "One and a half? What do you mean?" She said, "Well, Jehovah God created Jesus as a god, but then he's also the archangel Michael. So he's just, so there's one and a half gods we believe in." My next question, is Jesus Christ a true god or a false god? "Well, he would be a true god," she said. I said, "Well, how come the Bible says there's only one true God? Only one. So if you're believing Jesus is a God, he can't be the one true God. So you're in trouble." And remember the People's Temple Christian Church with Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid in the jungle. Reiki massage. Now, some people say, "Well, I'm only going to get a massage. It's only a massage." I'm telling you, if you knew what that woman or man was mumbling under his breath as he imparted the Reiki spirit into your body, you wouldn't want to be doing it anymore. Scientology. The late Ron Hubbard. Do you know how many people in Hollywood are Scientologists? It boggles the imagination. Seventh-day Adventism. People say, "How come you got their name on the list?" Because they do believe the deity of Christ, and now they've come around. They used to deny the Trinity, but now they accept it. And I say, just hold on a minute here. They have never corrected the writings of their prophetess, Ellen G. White, who claimed Jesus Christ was Michael. And they talk out of both sides of their mouth. Is he Michael? I say to them, "Who's Michael?" They say, "Jesus." "How come you've got an archangel for a savior?" "Well, he's not really an archangel. He's head over the..." No. Archangel means high-ranking angel. You can't change the meanings of Greek words just because your prophetess did a boo-boo, not realizing the church would change doctrine in later years. And there's all the spiritualists, which are basically the occult. They believe in Jesus Christ, if you ask them. "Oh, sure, we believe in Jesus Christ." The Summit Lighthouse, the Church Universal and Triumphant, that Susan and her husband intended to be the final two witnesses, but then he went and died. You know, something always fixes these people, doesn't it? The Unification Church, commonly called the Moonies. Reverend Moon is the Jesus Christ on the earth today, they taught. And he didn't finish the atonement, so they're helping him finish it. We have the Unitarians. We have Urantia, the Word Faith Movement, Yahwehism. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is co-mediator with his mother Mary. Mary is the co-mediatrix. Wrong Jesus. So that's kind of a heavy thing. I'm almost finished these names. These next groups profess belief in Jesus Christ, but a mystical Christ consciousness, not a personal savior, as God come in the flesh. Now, some of these ideas cross over between the groups, but they've all got the wrong Jesus. I put these in because some people just don't realize. Association for Research and Enlightenment. Remember Edgar Cayce? I've even had Christians say to me, "Well, wasn't he a great prophet of God and a healer?" No. Astara, Avatar, Baba Ram Das, the Kabbalah or Kabbalah, Kabbalarians, they have a mystical view. Now listen to some of these names with the mystical Christ. Christ Light Community, Christian Community, Church of the Trinity, not our Trinity, Divine Word Foundation, Emissaries of Divine Light, or the Ontologists. There's quite a group of them here in BC. The Gospel Family. Wouldn't you like to run right in? International Community of Christ. These are the Jamilians. Rajneesh Meditation Center, also called the Orange People. They took over the whole town of Antelope, Oregon. We've gone by there. He was caught leaving the USA with two jets full of money, credit cards, and cash, and jewelry. And he was trying to land. We happened to be in some overseas countries on tour in those days. And so the story went out that, oh, he didn't land in England because he had to carry on. He had a world tour somewhere else. No, nobody was letting him land. Rosicrucianism, silver mind control, theophacy, transcendental meditation, or TM. This is used in some schools. It's also used in some churches. It's called contemplative prayer. I hope none of you have been part of a group that sits around and you're told to choose a word. You can choose Jesus. And you say the mantra over and over. It's all Eastern mysticism. The Unity School of Christianity. Wrong Jesus. And the New Age movement in general. Also, beware of seminars sometimes put on in churches by unsuspecting elders and pastors, which can encompass New Age and mystical ideas. Each one has to carefully check out things like healing of the memories, regression, hypnosis, scream therapy, marriage and child-rearing seminars, meditation, mantras, meditative or contemplative prayer, or encounter groups. The counterfeits are mixed in with the genuine. We really need to have discernment as never before. We need to ask for statements of faith. We need to, you know, because there's such a responsibility on the oversight of the church not to let these kind of things come in. We had one group come in Nelson, and three marriages broke up, and that was just a small congregation because they ended up with some weird teaching about finding your soulmate, and then they convinced the person that who they were with really wasn't it. But last but not least, we come to the list of the Trinity deniers. These people may believe and say they believe in the deity of Christ. Yes, Jesus is Christ. He's our Messiah. He's our Lord, our God. We trust him. But they deny the Trinity. We had an interesting case that we had part in their straightening out their doctrine, and that was the Worldwide Church of God. Remember old Herbert Armstrong and all his stuff on the radio? Well, after he died, his son went off and carried on his father's doctrine, but a group of the elders there began to realize that his doctrine was not correct. And they contacted some of us in the discernment ministry, some Bible colleges, and it's quite amazing to be able to tell you that they embraced mostly Christian doctrine. They still got a few hang-ups on hell. But other than that, but watch out for their offshoot groups that are still teaching the wrong doctrine. The United Church of God, the Philadelphia Church of God, the Global Church of God, and many others. If any of you wonder, you can get a hold of Keith and I. So watch out for these Trinity deniers. The Assemblies of Yahweh, a group called Bible Believers. These are still following the teachings of William Branham. And there's quite a large local group here, and we were in touch with quite a few of them years ago. The Church of Bible Understanding. This is also called the Forever Family. The Church of God, off their statement by their General Assembly. Now, I want to tell you, this is not the Assemblies of God. This is the Church of God. So just be a little bit careful there. The Assemblies of God have a proper statement on the understanding of the nature of God. The Church of God International is Garner Ted Armstrong. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They claim they believe in Jesus Christ. They'll tell you they're born again. And they say, we believe the Trinity, but their Trinity has three little gods, all exalted men. except for the Holy Spirit, who's not allowed to have a body and so just blows around like the wind. But their Trinity is not our Trinity. The house of Yahweh, living waters. Now, sometimes churches take the same name as cults. So you've got to check it out. Ask for a statement of faith, and you should be able to find out. Ask them straight out, do you believe in the Trinity, that the one God has revealed himself to us as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Good to ask questions. The manifested sons of God. Now, Pastor touched on this a little bit on Sunday morning. Out of these came the latter rain movement, the dominion theology movement. They believe they're little gods. They're going to rise up and speak all these things into existence, and then they are going to actually bring about the millennium, and then they're going to hand it over to Christ to be the king. So, sort of odd. The Messianic Assemblies of Yahweh, the Pastoral Bible Institute, Swedenborgism, the United Pentecostal Church. Sing all the same praise choruses as the Pentecostal Church does, but they deny the Trinity. And how about this one? Universal Christian Movement. You'd never dream they're Trinity deniers, would you? So this concludes our naming of names of those claiming belief in Jesus Christ, but in fact teaching another Jesus. They are to be pitied. For the most part, they were seeking for God, the people that are in them. And they did not receive proper Bible teaching when they made a decision for Christ. They weren't nurtured along, they didn't grow in grace, and they were easy prey for some of these groups that moved in and said, yes, we believe in Jesus Christ at our church too, come over to us. And then slowly, slowly, they're being told that what we're teaching is not true. So we, as the true followers of the true Jesus Christ, have a responsibility. It's a command that we defend the faith. That includes being able to present Jesus Christ to those deceived ones, or correctly nurture and instruct new ones concerning Jesus. Some in the church need strengthening themselves. Some of us need our own faith strengthened. And so when we hear good biblical teaching on the person of Jesus Christ, that he's truly God and truly man, that builds up the whole body of Christ. We stay in the Word, we learn what it is, and so I hope you'll come again next week. And I have a special handout for you next week. It's small enough, it can go into your Bible, and it lays out all the scripture references where it's applied to the Father, Jehovah, or Yahweh, and applied to the Son, Jesus. For instance, when we get to Zechariah 12, which won't be too long, we'll find out that Yahweh, or Jehovah, was sold for 30 pieces of silver. But who was sold? It was Jesus. Who was pierced through for our transgressions? It was Jesus. But Zechariah says, it was God, it was Yahweh. So all of these different comparisons, it's good to have on hand. And I'll open there to Zechariah and say to a Jehovah's Witness, well, if your doctrine is that Jesus is not God, how do you explain that here it was God that was pierced for our transgressions? It was God that was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And you put that together, as you'll learn next week, with Acts 20:28, that God purchased the church with his own blood. Interesting scripture. Good to know. So we're going to have lots of little gems to help you with. And I want to close tonight by reading 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 24 to 26. And this is our instructions as New Testament Christians, I believe, when we're talking to these deceived people that we're going to run across. We don't want to run away from them. We have the truth. We have the light. When you put a little bit of light into their world, it's a wonderful thing. And here's our instructions, 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So we're the Lord's bondservant, right? We got to learn not to quarrel. We've got to be kind to all. We've got to be able to teach. This is why it's so important that we know how to present the true Jesus Christ to them, and we're going to learn that next week. And we want to be patient when we're wronged. And with gentleness, we want to be able to correct those who are in opposition. Because, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that does the work of convicting them. And we have seen over and over and over and over again over the last many years of people who you would think that there was no hope that they would ever become Christians. And today, they're glowing Christians. They love the Word. They love the Lord. And they're not afraid to share their faith. So thank you all for coming. This is a little departure from what we usually do here at Calvary Chapel, but I appreciate the opportunity. And next week, put your seatbelts on and bring your Bible and be prepared, because we're going to really go through it next week. So thank you all. And I'll be down front here if there is anyone that would like to come up and talk to me afterwards. Maybe you've got some questions. I don't think so, but if there's one here who's not sure they have the right Jesus Christ, please come and talk to me. And we'll certainly pray with you and do all we can to help you. And so let's just close in prayer then. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that Jesus Christ is our God, our Savior. He's all things to us. He lives in us. He dwells in our heart. He's given us the rebirth. And Lord, we pray that we will be able to defend our Lord and Savior, that we won't be caught up in the deceptions that abound today, even within the church. Lord, keep us safe from those things by keeping us washed with the water of the Word. Thank you for the privilege of using your Word tonight. And we leave ourselves in your care and keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.